I've been to Grand Marais since 1988. When I was here, I fell in love with Mary Beth, Mary Beth Nelson at the time, and then she passed away in 2005. I've been out to Ski Hill as a ski instructor and a ski school director. How much do you want to know? I don't know. Coach a lot of football, been a lot of substituting in schools and stuff, you know, basically, and been playing music. I took piano lessons in the 5th and 6th grade, and then I was lucky enough that it carried over for some reason, and was playing in the student union in the college, and the guy asked me if I would play at a nightclub with him. So I ended up playing a piano at a nightclub, and that kind of gone from there and went on for many years. And I play a lot of clubs and supper clubs and bars and grills and a few, fairs and things. And so I've had a very blessed life like that. That's wonderful. And I'm very grateful for it.
When did you start playing gigs around town up here?
I'll make a story very short, is that when I got here, I guess the last band that was playing had just quit maybe about a month ago. There was no music in the town. So I came out from Massachusetts, and I was playing a band called the Good Time Band. We play outside of Boston. And they came out, and I went. They asked if we could get a gig, so they brought their guitars and bass. And at that time, I was just playing the keyboards, and I could play the rhythms and leads with my right hand and bass with my left, and I had a drum machine, so we could get by like that. And so what happened, we did eventually get a drummer, but we went and played at the Legion, and they really liked it. The place was packed. We had a good time. And Ronnie Davies, who was a really great country singer, you know, carried most of the vocals. And went from there, and then we went to Silver Wings, where we had Don Bauer and Gary Croft and... I'm trying to think of John's last name. Bass player, but he plays good lead guitar too, and he's with the Splinters now.
Gruber?
Cool, yeah. He was in it. Right. And we were playing a lot around town and up at the Devil's Track up there at the lodge up there. And then I was playing a one-man gig at the ski area up at Rosie's, which was a loft way up on top, and I would just do that gig, and that was always fun. Stuff like that. So I've just been bouncing around. I know most of the musicians that are around town. And I have to say, though, a lot of the newer ones that have been in the last 5 or 10 years are really good musicians. Unbelievable. Really great. This is like the second branch where I look at all these guys that can play and do what they do. I'm just blown away.
Yeah, that really strikes me that you said that, you know, what was it, 88, and there was no music in the town. I can't imagine what Grand Marais would be like.
I know.
Back there without it.
It was really a very... I thought it was very weird myself, because I love music, but, you know, but that just happened, just how it all broke out like that, I don't know. But then all of a sudden, I ended up owning a restaurant called City Limits, and I had bands coming in every weekend, and then everybody else started doing the same thing. So the next thing, it just exploded with bands every place. So it was really, I think it was good for the town, and like I say, I just love music, and I just like listening also to the other musicians. They're awesome to watch and listen to.
All right. Well, we're actually going to try something really weird here. We're going to, I don't think I've done this on the show. I don't know if this has been done on WTIP before, but I've got my bass here. I'm going to play along with Billy here. He's got a few songs. He's brought originals, and we just very quickly rehearsed them, but we're going to give him a shot playing together, having a little jam session here on the air. What are we going to play first here?
We're going to do I Love This Town, and basically the reason why I wrote the song, and it was a hard song for me to write. It dealt with my wife had passed away. That's Mary Beth. She's a very local girl. And Mary Beth passed away in 2005, in November. And while she had cancer, I also had cancer, and we were both down in Fairview University Hospital in St. Paul. And we got letters, money, all kinds of gifts and cards and stuff like that. And it didn't last just for a few months. It lasted for over a year. And both Mary Beth and I were many times in tears right in our room. They had us in a special room at that time. And so it was really an incredible feeling for me, and I just feel so ingratiated how the whole North Shore, and particularly the Grand Marais, the churches and everybody, even our church took over our business, the Blue Moose, while we were out, and kept it going. It was just a great experience, because of our beliefs, Mary Beth's mind, that you know, we were able to weather the storm. Unfortunately, Mary Beth had passed away, and they may have. But that's basically what it's all about, just an appreciation for the friendship and the way that people are willing to step out and help you. And that was really cool. So it's called I Love This Town. Downtown, see my friends, had a cup of coffee and I talked with Jim. I love this town. Went to the post office 12:30, talked to Nancy and all was well. I love this town. Dad and the kids skipping stones on the lake. Ma looking back and saying, ain't that great? I love this town. I love this town, yes I do. People here will never let you down. Times are tough, they lift you up so much. I love this town. Northern lights up in the sky, twinkling and a-dancing, oh what a sight. I love this town. Sunset in the west, Sawtooth Mountain silhouettes. I love this town. Not afraid to raise a flag, say a little prayer and talk to God. I love this town. I love this town, yes I do. People here will never let you down. When times are tough, they'll lift you up so much. I love this town. Mary Beth died in 2005. Town stood right by my side. I love this town. I'm happy to say I'm here today, living in good old Grand Marais. I love this town. I love this town, yes I do. People here will never let you down. When times are tough, they'll lift you up so much. I love this town. Oh, downtown to see my friends. Had a cup of coffee and I talked with Jim.
I'm like honored. That is such a beautiful song. I'm so glad I got to play it. We have Billy D here, Bill Doucette, and he's playing some songs for us here on the Scenic Group.
Well, Will, I thank you for saying that, and I appreciate it. And it's just, it took me a while to get it done. I'm actually happy I could get through without crying. Yeah. I sometimes I play it and I just start crying. I can't even finish it.
I always thought Graham Array kind of needed a theme song. Maybe this one could be, this could be the one.
Well, they have plenty of songs there for Graham Array.
So what did you like grow up listening to?
I basically when I grew up, what I was listening to was classic rock at the time, the 60s, and also a lot of the folk music stuff, and did a lot of the folk music stuff in church and things. So I really enjoyed that, and at that time I went from a ukulele to a guitar. That was quite interesting, but it got good. And I just remember that first group that I ever was in was called the Stinker Seven. They were all, seven of us were from church, and of the seven, four of us could play guitars, and we just had a lot of fun with that. And that's how I got kind of started, like, with the guitar.
Because you were mentioning you were playing like keys and essentially bass on keys.
Oh yeah, well, stuff, when so. I was doing that, what happened was like, it was necessity, because you know you can't always get a drummer and you get a bass player, so sometimes I could do the whole thing, and with the drum machine, I was using the Elisa's drum machine with the foot pedals and stuff, and I wrestle with that too, because sometimes a lot of that's canned, and so I wrestle with myself dealing with ethics, as far as like a lot of times I'll play with just a drum machine, and I like that, and it feels like I got somebody with me, but I just feel like it was just how I got started like that, you know. And I think I was fortunate enough to figure that all out. The only thing I can't figure out how to do now is how to put it into a good recording. Every time I try to do a recording, I can never get the sound level I want.
But overall, I
feel like I was very fortunate to be able to just do that. I don't do it great, but I can get by.
I love the idea of the ethics of a drum machine, like when that is appropriate or
well,
like
exactly. And it's hard to say, because sometimes there's people who are, I think, really truest, and they just want to have it just the way you are without anything, you know. And then there's other people will use some of that sometimes. So I go back once and forth, back and forth with just playing primarily the guitar, but I can also play the keyboard by itself without anything and just sing along with some of that. It's it gets interesting sometimes, but you know, when you're playing to a group of people, it depends what they're there for. But if you want to get your sound to fill up, then you just basically try to bring in some other things with it and use electronics.
Yeah. Or you can just have a harmonica there, and then you're a one man band just like that. Let's do another song. What do we have next?
The next one is called Mangy Moose. It deals with a long time ago. I was late for work. I was racing down the Gunflint Trail and came around this curve, and to my surprise, there's this huge moose and just standing right in the middle of the road, and I slammed on the brakes, and I came within about probably 6 feet of hitting it. So I was kind of like a little nervous. Well, the moose kind of like looked at me, turned and looked at me very slowly, turned back, and 15 seconds later, he started doing this dance, and I thought he was going to dance on my hood. So that's what the music is all about there. So, okay. I think I got the right key here. Yeah, here we go. I was traveling down the Gunflint late last night. Came around a curve, and to my surprise, old Mangy Moo was standing in the middle of the road. So I stepped on my brakes really hard, came to a stop not too far from his old Mangy, right on the nose. Well, he looked at me and I looked at him and put on that kind of funny grin, and that old moose started dancing on top of my hood. Yeah, the wolves are howling back in the woods, Mangy's dancing on top of the hood, and the foxes are rolling and laughing on the side of the road. Chipmunks were singing in a harmony. A rat tune sitting on the thump of the tree. And the ravens were squawking and saying, "Who's that fool?" I was on my way to Grand Marais. Fisherman's picnic gonna happen that day. And I was going down there, have me some fun. Mangy turned, he looked at me. He said, "All I wanted was something to eat. And if you fed me, I'd let you through." Oh yeah. Well, the wolves were howling back in the woods. Mangy's dancing on top of my hood. And the foxes were rolling and laughing on the side of the road. Chipmunks were singing in a harmony. A raccoon sitting on the stump of the tree. And the ravens were squawking and saying, "Who's that fool?" So I fed old Mangy, and to my surprise, he got off the hood, stood on the side, and said, "Hey man, take a walk on the wild side." Well, this is my story, and I know that it's true. And coming down the gunflint, you know what to do. Feed old Mangy if you want to get through. Oh yeah. The wolves are howling back in the woods. Mangy's dancing top of the hood. And the foxes were rolling in the left and on the side of the road. Chipmunks were singing in a harmony. A raccoon sitting on the stump of the tree. And the ravens were squawking and saying, "Who's that fool?" Yeah, the wolves are howling back in the woods. Mangy's dancing top of my hood. And the foxes were rolling and laughing on the side of the road. Chipmunks were singing in a harmony. A raccoon sitting on the stump of the tree. And the ravens were squawking and saying, "Who's that fool?"
All right. That's what jam sessions are about.
That's a fun song, and I really enjoyed it. Particularly the kids do. If I was smart, I'd go to the elementary school and say, "Draw pictures of some of these things."
That's a great idea. I was just going to say, this sounds like a kid's book. I can imagine maybe a Liz, not Liz Severson. Well, maybe Liz Severson. Betsy Bowen type.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a whole book about that.
Oh, she woodcuts. Oh, my goodness. She's incredible.
We have Billy D here on the Scenic Route. And he's brought some songs for us, and we're having a jam session together. Like, what inspires you to write songs, I guess, Shaya?
Usually things that happen in life. I think everybody can relate to that. What you have to watch out for, I think, as a songwriter, is not to write generic so much. You know, it's easy to do, and I've done plenty of those. It just doesn't have the same feeling. But when your song has a real meaning to you, and it comes from your heart, that's when you can really feel it. You know, you can write, songwriters will tell you, they'll write a song and then they'll come back to it a day later and they'll say, "It doesn't sound right, don't like it," they'll just rip it up and start again. It's a long process. And I was lucky enough to take the songwriter's class, and I've learned a lot from that. But I just feel like, basically life experience is what you want to write about. And if you can share them with other people, it can sometimes be helpful, and sometimes it can give you a reminder or whatever. And everything like this, but I really, I'm happy that Will, you're playing that bass with me and everything like that. That's really cool. I like that. That was really great.
You're very welcome. This is really fun for me as well. So, why is songwriting important to you? I think you mentioned
we're here today and gone tomorrow. But sometimes if they can just get a little piece of you that they can remember that you were here, that helps. Also, the other reason is that sometimes people can identify with a song. And say, "Yeah, I understand that." When I was first divorced a long, long time ago, and when I was in Massachusetts and I was leaving to come out, I wasn't sure where I was going. And it was a song dealing with starting over, And it's going like, "Here I go down the road once again," sometimes I feel like those words are too easy because I don't encourage anybody to leave a marriage or any kind of commitment they make. It was really hard to do, Now that's, but in any case, but that's what you do. When you go through these life experiences, and I'm sure you can think some of yourself. I should ask you that question: if you wrote a song, what would you write it on?
Yeah, that's sometimes all you can do is just write a song about it, just to get through it. What's the third song we've got here?
This one is Road of Life. And basically what it deals with is dealing with the choices that we make. And we're all where we're at because of the choices we've made. The only choice you didn't have a choosing of is when you were born, you know, and your mom and dad. But after that, you know, it comes down to eventually realizing you have to make some choices. And hopefully they're good ones. Sometimes they're bad. I've made a bazillion bad mistakes. And you, sometimes you just don't know what's coming down the road at you, health-wise mentally as well. You know, some things can come up with problems that you face and things like this. So it's just kind of like how you deal with it. And we all have our way of doing that. And that's why I wrote the song. All right. Road of Life is what it's called.
Billy D here in the Scenic Route.
Let's see if I got this right.
I got G again.
I just blew everybody's eardrum right off. Okay. You never know what's coming down that road of life. You never know what's coming either day or night. The road that you take, you hope that it's right when you travel down that road of life. I said, ooh, why? I said, ooh. That you take, you hope that it's right when you travel down that road of life. Some roads could be rough, some roads could be smooth, some roads could be bad, yeah, some roads could be good. Though the road that you choose, you hope that it's right when you travel down that road of life. I said, ooh. Said, ooh, ooh, ah, the road that you choose, you hope that it's right when you travel down that road of life. I'm standing at the crossroads, wondering which road should I choose. I'm standing at the crossroads, saying which road should I choose, the one most traveled or the one less used. When you travel down that road of life, everybody's singing. I said, ooh, wah. Said, ooh, ooh, wah. Road that you choose, you hope that it's right. When you travel down that road of life. Turns and the bumps that you can't see. Every road has highs and lows, just like you and me. So on the road of life, won't you rescue me when you travel down that road of life? When you travel down that road of life.
I like that one. That was a lot more bluesy. That was great.
I enjoy blues a lot.
So you got some gigs coming up in the area. I know you've been playing at Sydney's and I think the Birch Terrace.
Right. Those are two primaries I've been playing at. I was a little slow trying to get my other bookings in other places. But that's all right. And I'm just happy to play. You know, when I go back to Florida in the wintertime, I do a couple of tiki huts and do a little Buffett and stuff like that. But I like to bounce around. People like country and country rock, and you know, particularly in the South, and I'm up here too, actually. You know, so I do a lot of variety.
Mm-hmm. You got to play Jimmy Buffett if you're down in Florida. Oh, yeah. I think that's like the law.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm also kind of stunned with how popular country and, you know, real kind of stuff. Like, even in the lower part of the state where I'm from, people didn't listen to it that much, even like the classic stuff. So that's
I like to watch other musicians for styles and techniques and what they're doing. And, you know, I was watching this particular guy who was doing a one-man show, a really good, talented guy. And I never heard this before, but somebody asked him to do a request. I think it was the Righteous Brothers or something he asked to do. And he says, "I don't do the Righteous Brothers." So they asked him why. And he says, "Because they don't do my music." So I said, "Oh, that's a good one. I like that." You know, so I use that once in a while, you know, because as a one man, you can't know all the music. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. And I am really limited like that. So, you know, yeah. you hope and pray that they'll ask for something that you don't know. But that usually happens. Your odds are against you on that.
Yeah, as someone who does a radio show and gets requests, I know that feeling very well.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And you want to please them, you know. It's just that it's just hard, you know, when you're doing that.
Yeah, that's great. They don't play my music, so I don't play theirs. That's like balking at the folk tradition right there.
Yeah.
Love it. What are your favorite gigs to play?
My favorite places to play, or did you say?
Or just like what kind of atmosphere at a show that you do?
You know, I enjoy all kinds of atmospheres. I like ones that are fun, and more than anything else is one that's a lot of laughs. It was really important for me is that when I play, I try to think about entertaining the people that are there. It's about them, not about me. So if I feel like I got a lot of applause for a particular song or a genre that might be in, I try to go in that direction as much as I can. But just try to make them happy. And, you know, life's too short not to be. You know, I'm past the time where I think that, you know, I'm going to go out and try to make a big recording or anything like that. I just want to be able to make, I enjoy playing a lot as a musician, but I really enjoy it when people are having fun when I'm playing. You know, and that's what I try to do more than anything else.
Well, I'm having fun right now.
Well, that's awesome. Really good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
We're talking to Billy D, Bill Doucette, and are you playing up here anytime this weekend?
Actually, no. I got this weekend. I think I'll be at Sydney's Fisherman's, and I don't know. I might have been on the stage. I'm not sure yet, but we'll see.
Right.
But I used to have a regular gig here and on the Fisherman's Picnic playing, and then I got ill and I had to give everything up. And you know what was nice was that. You know, that other people got a chance to play, and they're a lot younger than me, you know, and it's just a joy to watch these talented musicians play.
Okay.
You know, it's fun.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a weird story. This is kind of mind-blowing, but you said 2005 was the year you got sick, and so you couldn't play Fisherman's Picnic.
Yeah.
That was the first Fisherman's Picnic I was ever at. I was 15, and I came up here. That was my first time in Grand Marais.
Wow.
I remember Fisherman's Picnic, and I remember there was a band. So they must have been the replacement. I think it was Rotten Al, to be perfectly honest. But
it might have been. It's like a lot of the guys that I played with have kind of like through osmosis have gone through different groups and things, and they all kind of play together, which is a beauty. You want to be able to free yourself so you can play with other people as well. Mm-hmm, you know,
totally.
You don't want that total commitment of just one band and all that. That's crazy. Get a chance to play with other people and do it. It's just a lot of fun, and you get to learn a lot of nice techniques and things and songs, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, you always keep learning. That's the greatest part.
Right. If everybody thinks it's at the top of the echelons, if they say that, then I feel bad for them because it's true. They're not going to be able to go any further because they think that's as far as they can go, no matter how good they are. It could be anyway, even the pros.
So let's hear one more. Let's just have you do one, just so people have a. Have an idea what you sound like by yourself and don't.
Well, you can
this.
Do this with me.
All right, let's try it out.
We'll do. Ring of Fire. That'd be kind of fun. Unless you want to do something a little snappier.
Oh man,
I do it in G, and I
can do Walk the Line. I know that one.
I'll keep a close walk on. How about Folsom Prison then?
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, I'm going to do that in the key of F.
All of Cook County is seeing what standard music practice is like.
Okay. And That's my whistle. That's a train whistle, folks.
Are you going to start out by saying, hey, I'm Johnny Cash?
No, I wouldn't want to. I could never say that. The man is incredible, and I'm not even close to where he is. But I'm just glad that he was here with us and that he is able to share what he had.
And he's a guy who never hit that echelon and quit, because, you know, one of his biggest songs was right before he passed away, was that Nine Inch Nails cover, Hurt. Now that's like the definitive version of that song. So there you go.
Okay, let's see if I can get this right here. Here a train come rolling around the bend. Ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in a Folsom prison. Time keeps dragging on. And that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was a baby, mama told my son, always be a good boy, don't ever mess with guns. No, I had it coming. No, I can't be free. I blew the line. And that train keeps moving on down to San Antone. I bet these rich folks eat fancy dining cars, probably drinking coffee, smoking big cigars. I know I had it coming. No, I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they free me from them, if that train was mine, move it on over a little further down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, it's where I'd want to stay. And I'd hear that lonesome whistle blow my blues away. Hear a train come rolling around the bend. Ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Time keeps dragging on. And that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone.
There we go.
Here we go.
What do you think?
Thank you for letting me do that. I appreciate that. And I want to thank you so much for having this interview. It was a lot of fun, and I just really enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed it a lot as well. This was a lot, you know, this was really insightful. I think that we just exemplified community radio. We played together on the air.
Well, that's
just
good,
on,
too.
I'm flattered. Thank you so much for coming on. This was really special.
Believe me, it was all my pleasure, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to do this with you and also to play some songs that I had written that mean something to me. But I hope it means something to people that were listening, and, no matter what. And I just thank you. I thank the Lord for giving me the gift, to be able to do these things.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have you back on very soon. This is Billy D, Bill Doucette, the owner of the Blue Moose. And you can catch him around town check your local music calendar for when he's going to be playing around. Thanks again, Bill.
Thank you.